Cirrus starts recalling furloughed workers. A Muslim family is kicked off an AirTran flight. And Nivisys gets a civilian TSO for its night vision system. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 5th, 2009. There's no doubt this month we'll see its share of ugly economic headlines. All the more reason to notice the good ones. Effective today, Cirrus Design has started recalling employees laid off a month ago. The company says it's gearing up to resume production, although not at full capacity, targeting about 8 planes per week to keep pace with current demand. Bill King, Cirrus Vice President of Business Administration, told the Duluth News Tribune, quote, "It took a while to wind down our production, and it will take a while to wind it back up," unquote. As ANN reported, Cirrus laid off 335 workers in Duluth and 165 more in Grand Forks in November as a result of slumping sales. The company continued medical and other benefits for workers it intended to recall and coordinated with state government offices regarding available programs to supplement traditional compensation benefits for its employees. The recall news is also welcomed by suppliers. Dave Hudima, founder of Duluth's SCS Aircraft Interiors, said he's been in survival mode since Cirrus halted production. Quote, "When they shut down, it hurts. We had to cut back on hours. But we have a good, understanding crew, and we've been able to keep it together," unquote. Duluth's North Star Aerospace also makes some Cirrus components. CEO John Eagleton noted, quote, "We're probably restoring about 20% of our workforce initially, and we'll be growing that to 30 or 40% over the next couple months," unquote. Eagleton sees more good news on the horizon, predicting that another of his customers, the bankrupt Eclipse Aviation, will be back in production in February. It's happened again. What started out as a trip by a Muslim family from Washington, D.C. to a religious retreat in Florida was interrupted by federal interrogators. Atif Irfan was traveling with relatives and a family friend last Thursday and was boarding an AirTran flight when overheard by other passengers discussing which seats to sit in, specifically which seats were safer. Jumpy passengers reported what was described as suspicious dialogue to airline personnel. Irfan, his family, and friend were escorted off the plane and questioned by federal air marshals. But when the FBI cleared the group to reboard, AirTran would have no part of it. Irfan said, quote, "They told us we cannot fly their airline," unquote. Irfan and his fellow travelers were forced to book a flight on another airline. Other passengers and crew were rescreened before the AirTran flight was allowed to depart. The BBC reports the flight was delayed about 2 hours. AirTran later made a half-hearted apology to the 9 people forced off the flight and to 95 others whose travel was delayed, but then added, quote, "The steps taken were necessary," unquote. The airline also said it would reimburse the family for their tickets and fly them back to Washington at no cost. With plenty of short winter nights remaining this year for flyers in the Northern Hemisphere, Nivisys Industries LLC tells ANN it has received FAA TSO C-164 approval for its NVAG-6 night vision aviator goggle. The NVAG-6 consists of a lightweight binocular, which can be mounted to a variety of helmets for both fixed-wing and rotorcraft pilots. The system features a power pack, which uses either ordinary AA alkaline or standard military batteries. Nivisys is the first company to apply for and receive FAA approval to produce and deliver night vision goggles for use in the civil aviation community. Gary Higman, manager of law enforcement and homeland security programs for Nivisys, says the company's efforts, quote, "will provide the civil aviation community, including law enforcement, medical responders, and search and rescue units, with qualified and certified NVGs under the eyes of the FAA," unquote. The company did not specify a suggested list price. Up next on ANN, Virgin Galactic signs the lease for Spaceport America. The crosswind theory gains credence in a Denver crash investigation. And the FAA settles with a whistleblower from Memphis. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 5th. I'm Paul Plagg. There hasn't been much news lately out of New Mexico's Spaceport America, but it looks like things could start moving pretty quickly in 2009. British billionaire Sir Richard Branson signed a 20-year lease with the state last week to build Virgin Galactic's new facilities at the port, expects to break ground on the facility by April, and expects completion in 2010. Governor Bill Richardson commented, quote, "The signing of this agreement is a momentous day for our state and has cemented New Mexico as the home of commercial space travel. I want to thank Virgin Galactic for partnering with us to create a whole new industry that's going to transform the economy of southern New Mexico, creating thousands of jobs, generating money for education, boosting tourism, and attracting other companies and economic opportunities to the area," unquote. The FAA has granted a launch license, and the state has put up $140 million to back the venture. The launch site has previously been used by Lockheed Martin, Armadillo Aerospace, Up Aerospace, Microgravity Enterprises, and Payload Specialties. Virgin Galactic will offer customers passage to suborbital space aboard Spaceship Two, patterned after the Burt Rutan design, which won the Ansari X Prize in 2004. The mothership, which will carry it 50,000 feet up for launch, is called White Knight 2 and made its first test flight last month. Early speculation that gusting crosswinds contributed to the December 20th crash of Continental Flight 1404 at Denver International Airport is being supported by a preliminary report from the National Transportation Safety Board. NTSB reports weather observations at the time of the accident showed winds were from 290 degrees at 24, gusting to 32 knots. In attempting to take off on runway 34 right, Flight 1404 would have experienced a substantial crosswind. As ANN reported, 37 of the 115 passengers and crew aboard the Boeing 737 were injured when the jet reportedly appeared to begin rotation, then careened off the runway with an engine on fire, and came to rest in a ravine nearly 2,000 feet off the end of the runway. Its main gear and one engine sheared off. All of the injured have since been released from the hospital, including the pilot. The NTSB's final report on probable cause is not expected for about a year. A whistleblower who went public with concerns about the risks of mid-air collisions near Memphis International Airport has persevered through what he claimed was retaliation from the FAA and has won reinstatement and monetary damages from the agency. The settlement follows the intervention of the Office of Special Counsel. 20-year ATC veteran Peter Nesbitt filed complaints alleging that routine procedures for aircraft operating on intersecting runways with intersecting flight paths at Memphis created undue hazards to the safety of the flying public. After sending letters to the NTSB and Congress and filing a report to NASA's Confidential Aviation Safety Reporting Database, Nesbitt was taken off ATC duty, assigned office work, and forced to participate in a remedial program for training controllers. But the Office of Special Counsel advised the DOT's Mary Peters that the complaints were valid and went on to request an investigation by Calvin Scovell, the DOT's Inspector General. The Associated Press reports the settlement reinstates Nesbitt to duties at his former pay level, grants his requested transfer to Austin Bergstrom International Airport, where he worked before Memphis, and will pay him for both his relocation and legal expenses. And the FAA has reportedly changed procedures at Memphis to provide more spacing between aircraft. Still ahead, the FAA looks for clues in the death of a skydiver. NTSB says a goose strike brought down a Piper Seminole. And you protect your own hearing. Now, what about Fido? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your aero briefing for Monday, January 5th. I'm Paul Platt. Skydiving presents obvious risks, but investigators want to know what went wrong in the case of a 22-year-old parachutist who died at the Sebastian Municipal Airport in Florida Friday afternoon. What is known so far is that the man became detached from his parachute after tangling with power lines during his second jump of the day. Tommy Schmidt of Vero Beach witnessed the accident from a half mile away. Quote, "I saw two on a parachute and one detached and fell. I heard screaming as the individual fell to the ground. Then I heard an ambulance. The man was on the ground motionless," unquote. Detective Ron Carlson identified the victim as Daniel R. Culpa of Cranberry, New Jersey. The detective commented, quote, "People jump every day from Skydive Sebastian, and they just don't have that many accidents," unquote. Carlson added that there was nothing so far to suggest any suspicious circumstances. The Treasure Coast Palm reports the parachute will be examined by the FAA. There have been only three other serious accidents reported since 2001 at Skydive Sebastian. Office manager Amanda Owens said Culpa was an experienced diver with more than 100 jumps to his credit. Quote, "It's a very sad time and everybody will learn for this," unquote. The NTSB has made a determination that the likely cause of a fatal crash of a twin-engine Piper Seminole in 2007 was a bird strike. The accident killed 20-year-old pilot Adam Ostapenko of Duluth, Minnesota, and 22-year-old certified flight instructor Annette Klosterman of Seattle. The NTSB's investigation was thorough. Data retrieved from the plane's Avidyne PFD revealed the plane had been in stable flight on a 320-degree magnetic heading at 4,500 feet and about 160 knots when it abruptly departed from controlled flight. Within 30 seconds, the craft impacted a bog, inverted. When damage to parts of the plane were inconsistent with the attitude at the time of impact, analysis, including DNA testing, found remains of at least one Canada goose in a wing tear and on a bent portion of the tail. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, of the 26% of bird strikes that occur above 500 feet, about 7 times more happen at night than during the daytime. A high incidence of strikes occurs between September and November, and again between April and May. Canada geese have been involved in 668 strikes with civil aircraft between 1990 and 2002. 112 of those resulted in substantial damage to the aircraft. The average mass of a Canada goose is 9.2 pounds for a male and 7.8 pounds for a female, with a maximum mass of 13.8 pounds, and the species exhibits strong flocking behavior. The NTSB's probable cause report blames the accident in question on, quote, "an in-flight collision with at least one Canada goose and the resulting damage to the left stabilator that caused the plane to become uncontrollable. Contributing to the accident was the night lighting condition, which precluded any possibility of the flight crew seeing the birds prior to impact," unquote. And finally today, if Santa didn't bring you exactly what you wanted, and you're starting 2009 still searching for the right new gadget, here's some advice for you. ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell is releasing our annual summary of the best new toys released during the previous year. Today's Gadget Patrol 2008 pick is Mutt Muffs, hearing protection for your dog. Laugh all you want, but if the noise level in an airplane cockpit can damage human hearing, imagine how uncomfortable and dangerous it could be for a passenger with hearing many times more sensitive than yours. And if you subscribe to the opinion that no self-respecting dog would wear ear protection, the manufacturer of Mutt Muffs begs to differ. Quote, "It doesn't take long for most dogs to compute cause and effect. Dogs figure out very quickly that the Mutt Muffs are what is stopping the noise. Ironically, most make this determination by getting them off in flight, usually just once. That's all the doggy evidence required to know life was happier when they were on. When adjusted properly, Mutt Muffs fit securely enough that head shaking isn't enough to get them off," unquote. Find out more at www.safeandsoundpets.com and read our other gadget picks for the year just passed in the feature called Gadget Patrol 2008, amid the other headlines at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses the top 10 on his 2009 to-do list for pilots. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.